represents what is incomplete. Man without God. Seven symbolize perfection and divine order. Isaiah 6 verse show that the people's entire life had turned from being God-centered to self-centered. And what shocks us most is that these vows are not for outsiders or pagans, but for God's own people, his vineyard. The one he planted, cleared, and built with love. He brought them out from the house of slavery, led them through the wilderness with the pillar of cloud and fire, and gave them the promised land. He formed them into a nation to be his own. They were meant to bear the fruit of justice and righteousness. They were called to be the reflection of God's image, so that the world would see his mercy and holiness through them. But they forgot who planted them. They still worshipped, but allowed God to be only their Savior, not their Lord. They enjoy his grace, but reject his discipline. They exalt his name, but trembled his will. This is an identity crisis. When people forget their spiritual identity, they define themselves by wealth, comfort, or religion. They may still look like God's people, but they no longer live like God's people. God's pain is not that he was forgotten, but that his image was erased from his people's lives. Here, Isaiah goes deeper to the root of all sin, pride. Both those who draw sin with cloth of deceit and drag iniquity with ropes of falsehood. They mock God, saying, "Let the God hurry and do his work so that we may see it." How arrogant. They do not repent. They challenge God's authority. This is the sin of pride, not merely arrogance, but placing oneself in the position of God. They use the cross of deceit, self-justifying lies to bind themselves together tighter and tighter, until sin becomes habit, and the habit becomes worldview. They call evil good, and good evil, put darkness for light, and the light for darkness, bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. This reversal is the climax of pride. When people think they can define truth, truth becomes twist. When they judge God's actions, they lose sight of their own corruption. The essence of pride is heart that no longer needs God. It blinds people to God. It blinds them to themselves. But humility restores sight. As C.S. Lewis said, pride, on the other hand, is the mother of all sin, because it makes us look at ourselves instead of looking God. And don't you do the same? God now looks not only at nations, but at each of us. He seeks fruit among his people, not religious passion, but authentic life, not outward piety, but inner justice and mercy. When God looks at us, what does he see? And when we look at the world, at the weak, at the forgotten, what do we see? Do we respond with justice or turn away in indifference? The result of pride is blindness. When we grow used to not seeing, we drift far from God, like the rich man in Jesus' parable, Luke 7:16. He feasted every day, but ignored the poor man at his doorstep. It wasn't that he didn't know Lazarus was there. He had simply grown used to not seeing him. His comfort numbered his compassion. His soul closed on itself. We often live like this. We hear gossip, but stay silent. Sometimes we even join the conversation, discussing curiosity as a concern. We say, I just want to pray for them. But our words spread faster than our prayers. Gossip may seem harmless, just talk, yet quietly poisons relationships, damages trust, and turns love into suspicion. Paul warns in Romans chapter 1, 30, there are gossips, slanderers, go-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They are not harmless words. They are the fruit of corrupted heart. The Bible reminds us that the tongue was the power of life and death. What we say can heal or destroy. When we talk to people about someone, it divides. But when we talk to God about someone, it heals. We see injustice and say, I can't help everyone. We think, I mean no harm. But every small act of indifference turns sin to habit, habit into worldview. And we tell ourselves, this is not a big deal. Everyone does it. But such an attitude slowly breaks relationships and separates us from God. So how do we resist such decline? Not by fear or guilt, but by practicing compassion. Micah chapter 6, verse 8 says, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Compassion is like a spiritual muscle. It must be exercised. We must learn mercy again. Start small. When you see a homeless person, give him or her a smile, a greeting, a coffee, probably a lunch, and ask, what can I pray for you? When you see someone sitting alone at the church, sit beside them, talk and listen, care about them. Each act plants a seed of God's love. As we walk with others, they no longer feel the coldness of the world. We also guard our speech. Not joining careless talk or judgment, a single unkind word can cause another to stumble. This is not just about doing good. It's about being renewed by God's heart. As we pray, serve, and grow together, our compassion deepens. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 to 16, speaking the truth in love, we grow to become in every respect the mature body of Christ. When the church grows in love, we resist the coldness and pride of the world because his image will be in us. God's judgment then is not destruction, but pruning. His prunes not to remove the vineyard, but to let his image grow again, to bear new fruit of justice and righteousness. However, we know that by our own strength, we cannot bear fruit that truly pleases God. As our Lord Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Only we abide in Christ and his life flows into ours can be bear the fruit of righteousness and mercy in his love. He took upon himself our corruption and gave us the Holy Spirit that we might become holy and fruitful branches and bear the good fruit. Brothers and sisters, God is still walking through his vineyard today. He's still looking for fruit that belongs to him. He does not ask the louder worship or busier religion. He asks us to let him rule again, to rule our thoughts, our time, our money, and our relationships. When God reigns, our lives are pruned and renewed. Pruning is not punishment, it is love. Only pruned branches can bear fruit again. And that fruit, not success or fame, but justice and mercy, truth and love. When God takes first place, we stop asking, what do I want? But begin to ask, Lord, what do you want to grow in me? This is why we were created, in his image, to reflect his heart on earth. Sin broke that image, but when he rules again, his image is restored. So today, God invites us back to his vineyard, back to the labor of love. May we remain always in this true vine, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let him prune our pride, remove our indifference, and plant new seeds of compassion. When he is Lord of our lives will never be the same. For his image will shine again in us, and his justice and mercy will be the fruit we bear to the glory of his name. Let us pray. Lord of the vineyard, thank you for loving us enough to prune us. Forgive our pride and blindness, cut away what is cold and lifeless within us. Plant in us new seeds of mercy and justice. Renew our hearts to reflect your image again. May the world see through us your love and holiness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.